Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, September 16th, 2019. It's a memorization Monday. In fact, it's our 27th week in a row of covering various verses. Actually, I guess it's covered over 27 weeks because for Labor Day and other holidays, or there's a couple times I think we've had a special guest in on Monday. But
we've done pretty well.
Yeah, pretty well. And we're in our 27th verse. It's a great one. It's out of Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Now we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Powerful verse.
Pretty packed with meaning.
Yeah, meaning and the suffering he went through on our behalf. God's perfect plan, the redemptive plan to draw us to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was pierced. And this is an Old Testament reference of the coming Messiah. Now, we know it as the Lord Jesus Christ. But during those biblical times, they looked forward to how was God going to fulfill this? What does this verse mean? We have the advantage of looking back in history and understanding.
Can you imagine what was Isaiah thinking when he wrote this? He did not know what we know. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Wow. Well, we have two special guests in the studio with us today.
They are special.
And they're actually, we're coming in to record some spots because they're putting on a special, well, they're a part of a special production that is now currently sold out, but you're weighing or evaluating a second showing or such. So in the studio with us is Doug Peterson. And if you look at this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, his son, Jason, front page.
Yeah.
And Doug, you wrote an article for us some months back.
He's written a couple.
Very gifted. In fact, we could have a whole interview on your VeggieTales work and the comic books you're writing and your other books and all the things you're doing. That would be a series of broadcasts. And then Jennifer Guerin, your various ministries and work. You've helped out with English Conversation Class. You're an actress. You're a director. And you're directing this play, this two-man show, if you will. So tell us a little about what's going on, even though right now it's sold out, there may be a second showing.
Well, it's called Friends Indeed, and it's about the improbable friendship between Ben Franklin and evangelist George Whitefield. And they really came from two different worlds. I mean, Ben Franklin was a religious skeptic, and Whitefield was the Billy Graham of his day. Mm-hmm. And yet they were really good friends. And I think in today's culture, we are so divided.
Right.
It really shows that you can come from two different worlds and still love each other and be friends. It's about that. It's not that they didn't have conflict, and that's what the play is about. They did have conflict, but through it all, they remained friends. And their friendship really formed the basis of our country. It was when the country was born. So had a great impact on our country.
And so you wrote out the script or the conversation that's going to take place. Jenny's directing this. I know Joe Thomas. What role does he have in all this?
He would be the producer. But it was his idea. It's been something that he's been kicking around for like 10 years. When he found out about their friendship, he did a lot of research, and he'd been giving talks regularly throughout when he lived in Pennsylvania, and when here he'd been giving talks about their friendship between Franklin and Whitefield, and he always thought, I'd love to turn it into a play. And so he teaches at Urbana Theological Seminary, and he was asking his class if they knew anybody who might be interested in writing, working on something like that. And Gwen McQueen knew me and said, hey, why don't you contact Doug Peterson? Mm-hmm. And we didn't know each other, and we've become really good friends, and it's been just a great project to work with.
Yeah, I remember seeing Joe at a Pinnacle Forum gathering, and we started talking, and he was sharing all these different ideas, and then your name came up, and I said, oh, he writes for the Prime Life Times, and he writes for many other things.
Yeah.
I said, we were fortunate that he wrote a story for us. In fact, we're trying to get a lot more stories out of you, but
you're
doing so many other things.
Yeah, I really, what I did for you, I was really interested in University of Illinois history.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I did several for you on University of Illinois history,
right.
And I haven't found time to do any. I've been so swamped.
Right. That's okay. Just when you can.
And we're going to come back to this and have some comments from you, Jennifer, on some of the things you're doing and what it means to produce this. But let's do our special reading on this being Memorization Monday. Isaiah 53:5 is our verse for the week. And as you know, our custom is to read the chapter, which is usually about 2 pages out of 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart by Robert J. Morgan. And so we'll continue with our 27th week.
Okay. Well, Isaiah is one of my very favorite books in the Bible, so I'm glad we're learning scriptures from Isaiah. And Robert Morgan says, "The cross is at the crossroads of every book, chapter, and verse in the Bible. And we clearly see that emphasis in Isaiah 53. This is a miraculous portion of scripture, giving us an advanced look of the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord. Though written hundreds of years before Christ, it's chock-a-block with prophetic details about the passion of the Messiah. The images are so Calvary vivid that it's amazing to realize that it was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born." But Isaiah 53 doesn't just give us the details of Christ's history in advance. It explains the purpose of it. We are the reason he was pierced and crushed and punished and wounded. His gruesome death was redemptive in nature. The underlying theme is found by noticing several phrases in this verse. Because of our transgressions, because of our iniquities, our peace, we are healed. The cross wasn't a mere accident of history or a random act of violence. As the next verse puts it, we all went astray, like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. So as you study Isaiah 53:5, adopt it as a personal verse. It's not only prophetic, it's purposeful. The great emphasis reverberating through every verse is redemption. Why was Jesus born? Why did he come from the root and stock of David? Why did he grow up an ordinary-looking man? Why did he suffer rejection, arrest, scourging, and crucifixion? He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. Here's another thing he has in this chapter. Isaiah has been called the fifth gospel because it's packed with messianic prophecy. In Isaiah, we keep running into direct, detailed information about Jesus. The most poignant passage is Isaiah 53. While memorizing verses 5 and 6, take time to read this chapter carefully. Notice the incredible series of predictive details about the Messiah and his death, which can be arranged chronologically under these headings. And here they are. Introduction, an opening summary of the Messiah, chapter 52, 12 through 15. His birth in early years, 53, 1 through 2a. His appearance, verse 2b. His rejection by men, verse 3. His being forsaken by God, verse 4. His scourging and piercing, verse 5. His silence before his accusers, verse 7. His imprisonment and death, verse 8. His burial, verse 9. His resurrection, verse 10a. His post-resurrection work, verses 10b through 11. His exaltation and glory, verse 12. And here's a quote by Matthew Henry. "This chapter is so replenished with the unsearchable riches of Christ that it may be called rather the gospel of the evangelist Isaiah than the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah." And we were talking earlier, Doug and Jennifer and I, Matthew Henry is a, what do you say, a pastor and a commentator? Is that right?
Well, he's got a famous commentary that he wrote, Matthew Henry, and it's available online even today.
Yeah. Wow. Boy, a sobering verse.
I mean,
when you think it through, the suffering that Jesus went through, that it was prophesied, and then he actually went through it, and it just wasn't an ordinary man. This was God's son. This was God in the flesh, suffering for us, pierced for our iniquities. And, Jenny, I'm thinking, you know, they made a recommendation to personalize this verse, you know, but he was pierced for our transgressions.
Right.
So you could say he was pierced for my transgressions, or you could say he was pierced pierced for Mark's transgressions.
Oh,
so
wow.
Can you maybe read this verse for us, personalizing it as an example?
I certainly will. Reading scripture out loud is like one of my greatest joys.
And some of you might be familiar with Jennifer's voice or Mary Ann's with the scripture spots that are heard frequently. These two got together and recorded some of their favorite verses and then had a little commentary or a thought for people to, as they hear the word, to apply it into their life or to think about it.
It's a real blessing.
Mm-hmm.
This is Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was upon him. And by his wounds, I am healed.
Hmm. Whoa, that's powerful.
Yeah, and it's a truth that all of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ have to at some point come to terms with the fact that he suffered the punishment that I should have received. I can't earn it. The only reason I have favor with God is because of the act that Jesus did on my behalf and that I accepted that as a free gift. I couldn't earn it. There's no way I could have made my way into heaven outside the fact that God had this perfect plan through the suffering of his son to take away my sins, to take away the sins of the world. But we all have to come to that point of understanding that Jesus, become my Savior, forgive me of my sins, and then that process of following the Lord Jesus Christ begins. But wow, powerful verse.
Yeah, that personalization really does something. My peace comes from him. You know, I am healed by him. Wow, thank you for that thought.
And, you know, he's been called the wounded healer, and I just think it really draws out the empathy of God that he has taken on wounds, that we are all wounded, and he voluntarily took on the same kind of wounds.
Wow, that's excellent.
And Mark, your suggestion that you personalize it is a really good one, because I know some people certainly wouldn't read scripture out loud in front of other people, but when they're doing their quiet times or they're by themselves personally, if they read things out loud and personalize the scripture, it can go deeper into their heart and mind and soul than in any other way.
You pay attention to the words more when you read out loud. As a writer, I do that. When I'm proofing my stories, I try to at least one or two times read it out loud, because you hear things you don't hear when you're just doing it silently.
Oh.
So I think with the Bible, you want to do that with the Bible as well.
I think early on, Doug Peterson.
right here.
Robert Morgan. Yeah, I think early on in our readings by Robert J. Morgan, he talked about the importance of verbalizing, of having these verses in your mind, in your heart, thinking about them, dwelling on them. I agree, Jennifer, that, you know, when we read it, when we personalize it, when we ask the Holy Spirit, Lord God, as I read today, help this become personal. Help it become your voice to me, your instruction manual, your love letter. Help me find points of application. I love going into a service on a Sunday and say, okay, Lord, speak through the pastor, through the message that he's going to deliver from your word. Help me sift the things that I need to hear or understand, or the conviction that needs to come onto my heart and mind. And I think when we do personalize it and say, Lord, speak to me today from your living word, living and active, I don't know, it's just the best way to do it. I don't know any other way. That's the way I've been taught since childhood. Mm-hmm. When you read God's word, ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind. Mm-hmm. And then I always look for answers to prayer or specific things.
Yeah.
And we can kind of turn this into a testimony Tuesday, because I know, Doug, you're currently attending the Urbana Theological Seminary. I think you were in one of the courses with Dr. Ken Cuffey, inductive Bible study or something?
Right. I mean, I would encourage anybody, because I'm auditing, so you don't have to write papers. You don't have to worry about grades.
I like this part.
I'm too old for all that.
Yeah.
So I audit, and it's cheaper that way, too. I've started taking classes at Urbana Theological Seminary maybe four or five years ago, and I wish I had done it a long time ago, because you get so much out of it. Yeah. I've taken church history with Joe Thomas. I've taken Old Testament and New Testament with Ken Cuffey. I've taken C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien with Melody Green. It has a wide variety. So I look forward to every semester taking a new class. And so I am taking inductive Bible study with Dr. Ken Cuffey this semester.
And what church do you attend locally?
We attend Cornerstone Fellowship, small fellowship, Seth Kirlin, the pastor. Wonderful church.
And do you have one of those elevator testimonies where you might only have 30 or 45 seconds
Mark,
or 2 minutes?
I don't know if I have that.
They say we should always be ready in case
If the elevator went maybe 100 floors and maybe got stuck for about 3 hours,
I have an
elevator.
I can do that, too.
Because I do have a very involved story, but it was actually through my wife. I came to campus here in 1973, shows how old I am, and never left, and met my wife here and met the Lord here. So it was through my wife, and it is a very long, involved story with my wife. But, so she led me to the Lord.
And you've used some of those gifts and talents. Those that are familiar with VeggieTales, you've written a number of those scripts, or what do you call those?
I wrote mostly books. I wrote 42 books for them, mostly picture books, some chapter books.
Now, wait. Everyone's like, did I hear 42?
Yes, you did.
42.
Yes, you did.
Picture books, you can write a lot faster than you think. Right. But the hardest part about picture books is coming up with the idea. Yeah. Writing it, it's short enough. It's not as time-consuming. Coming up with the idea can tend to take a lot of work. So I was only involved with one video because they ended up buying one of my story ideas, and it became Larry Boy and the Rumor Weed, if you've ever heard that.
Oh, that's great.
It was the second Larry Boy video that they put out.
Oh, excellent.
Well, I tell you, I want to hear more about Friends Indeed, because this is powerful to me in our age of polarization where people can't even speak to each other about subjects. We have a phenomenal piece of history here.
And Jennifer, how do you direct that? So you were given this assignment and you're like, well, you know, I love to act. I love to work with actors. I love to coach. How have you seen God launch you into this new opportunity?
Well, I was asked actually to come to one of their initial readings and just be there and give some kind of feedback. And as I was there, of course, it was like, oh my gosh. You know, do they have a director?
Which we didn't at that point.
And, you know, because this is the kind of thing, I appreciate theater as entertainment and things, but I've always personally liked to use theater as a tool for things like educating, healing, making people aware of ideas or...
Yeah, not just entertaining them, but
And
putting meaning into it.
And so this idea that there could be two people coming from two totally different platforms that came to the colonies and helped form what became the United States of America, and one, his platform is faith, he's a preacher, the other one, he's more of a patriot, he was a statesman, he was definitely a religious skeptic, but their goals for the society were very similar. And in spite of the fact that they were coming from different platforms, they learned how to love and respect one another and work together for those common goals.
This is very powerful.
And something that we can all learn to do
today.
This is
so on target and powerful.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, it's you know, the tolerance goes both ways. You know, it was okay, you know. I mean, they certainly, the topic certainly came up, you know, and Franklin sometimes thought, you know, obviously that Whitfield was going too far with his religious stuff. And Whitfield, of course, hoped that someday that Franklin would receive Jesus. But in spite of all that, there was still a value that they had for one another and an integrity they kept for their relationship. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was very, very powerful.
Now, how many Great News Radio listeners need to call in so we can convince you to have additional showings? Because it's like, wow, everyone's getting excited. I want to see this. I want to learn this. And it's happening in 1 week, and yet it's sold out. So what can we do? Is there a phone number or a website? How can people say, I'm really interested in knowing more? Because you're doing a whole kind of a dinner theater where there's a meal and then the show. And
yeah, the venue is actually very attractive. We're at Sleepy Creek Vineyards that's located in Fairmont, Illinois.
Between Champaign and Danville.
Sure.
And we're serving, I don't know if I can say this on the radio, we're serving a Black Dog, from food from Black Dog,
sure,
the caterer.
Sure. Yeah,
and
it's tasty.
but Joe Thomas is gathering up a list, because it did sell out very fast, so I think combination of that and the fact that he's getting more people saying they want to come, he's building up a list. So it is likely it will be done again. But if you're interested, there is an email address for Joe Thomas.
Yeah, let's flood Joe's email
box. I
just
said thousands of people right
yeah, and
now.
So if he gets names and builds up a waiting list, that would convince him that we will need to do this again, maybe once or twice more. But his email is joe.thomas@lifetogetherhouse.com. So that's joe.thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, at lifetogetherhouse, all one word, lifetogetherhouse.com.
And can I just read this little blurb right here? I know you read part of it, Jennifer. It says, the two most famous men in the colonies came from different worlds, but they were friends in word and deed. Oh, that's so meaningful to me.
Yeah, because that whole expression, Franklin's expression, a friend in need is a friend indeed,
yeah,
it has a double meaning. A friend indeed, and it can be a friend in deed, in your actions. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice double meaning in that. And then we work that into the title, of course.
And I think George could be that way, receptive and open and caring, because of Isaiah 53:5. Because he recognized that because Jesus Christ was pierced for his transgressions, pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And that's a message that all of us can take into a hurting world today. Because of the price that Jesus paid on our behalf, our wounds are healed. We can then become ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing healing and hope to this hurting world.
Well, what I hear when you're speaking is a humility toward the rest of the human race toward our people and friends in society. They may not agree with us on everything.
And God has created them in his image, so they are image bearers. They may just not know him quite yet, but it may be our role to help inch them closer, to love on them and to care for them. So, great verse. Thank you for being. They're actually in here to do some taping and recording.
Know.
And I said, come on, jump into the studio and be a part of the broadcast. So they had no show prep, no prior warning.
Oh, they don't need it.
Yeah, they're professionals and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you for having us. It was great.
Oh, it was great having
Very nice.
You.
Thank you.
So, all right, everyone. Well, the verse for this week, Isaiah 53:5. And if you tune in tomorrow, there'll be a special broadcast by David Platt. Something needs to change, a call to make your life count in a world of urgent need. And there'll be some book giveaways tomorrow, so tune in for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. Yeah, I think you'll really be blessed by a special 26-minute broadcast with David Platt. So, all right, well, let's go into the world today knowing that the Lord loves us. He provided a plan and purpose for our lives, and he demonstrated it through an extravagant act of love, suffering for our iniquities and paying the price of even his life, so that we can have eternal life with him.
You are forgiven and you are loved.
Amen. All right, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.